This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What was the draft like for you to add so many potential on your side?
No, I mean, anytime you add talent that you identify in the way that you believe can help you is exciting, you know. And I think that, Brandon, Sean, everybody, the assistant coaches did a great job with our evaluations and making sure we're aligned on the same page. Obviously, you guys know it's well documented. We're going to try to take the best player available, but also, you know, try to address a need here or there if it matches up correctly. And, you know, our front office, our coaches do a tremendous job syncing up and making sure we're on the same page. So excited.
What stood out to you about Deion Walker and how he can impact and just the potential that he
has? Right. So Deion Walker, to me, when you turn on the tape, you know, he does things at his size that you're not expecting someone at that size to be able to do. Like all rookies, we got to find the consistency, you know, not only in his approach, but the execution of what we're trying to get done. And, you know, there's an adjustment period for them all. But he's an extremely talented person. He's a good person. Excited to see his growth.
Bobby, you've seen Tre'Davious
yep.
at the peak of his career.
Yep.
A couple injuries, a little older. Where do you see him now in his second
go around? Well, first off, it's just great to be around Tre'Davious again. His energy's infectious. And some of you guys might see this as the season goes or the past and the training camps and all that, but his work ethic is second to none. It's second to none. And, right now, really what you're seeing is Tre'Davious working himself back, ingratiating himself back into the Bills system. And some things have changed here and there. So he's still, you know, adapting to what we've changed. And quite honestly, I think Sean said it. He was sitting in his office, and it was pretty surreal when this free agency started to happen. And I was like, oh, man, this could really happen. It really was a surreal feeling. And, we're excited that Tre'Davious and his family are back here in Buffalo. And I'm sure it's well documented. His kids were all born here. So, you know, they're coming home.
Bobby, having Trey and Dane in that room with Max,
yep.
How does that help a rookie corner?
Yeah, I think, again, I'm going to go back to Brandon and Sean, you know, target the right people for what we're trying to get done here. And I think that's really where it starts. You know, obviously the talent's important, but if you don't have the right person and Buffalo's a special place, well, you know, what's the influence not only on the defense but the team? And I think those are two guys that would influence rookies and are influencing rookies in a positive way. They're selfless. They want to see young guys, prosper in the same way that maybe a Trey White helped a Dane or, going back to it, Dane helped a CB, right? So it's just an intertwined deal, and those guys are they're awesome. They're Bills-type players, and it's great to have them back, and they are an absolute asset to that room.
Well, I'm sorry. How do you approach a guy like Mike LeBoy? It's unique circumstances.
Right.
You're getting to know him as a player and then knowing what's out there for that first six weeks.
Yeah, I think, you know, it starts with our evaluation of him in free agency. You know, we've actually looked at him for multiple years as far as Michael goes. So then you try to envision in your mind a role or a piece that he could perform because his role in L.A. was quite unique. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. He's got to learn the Bills' defense first. We'll see where it goes and see how that kind of comes together for him and see if anything could potentially expand from there.
We've heard from Sean a lot about how he kind of used Michael and Larry knowing that they're going to be suspended to start the season. How do you, as a defensive coordinator, like, make sure you're integrating them and getting them ready while also making sure you're knowing they're not going
right
to be available for a Chuck? How do you approach
that? That's a great question. So I think that's twofold. You know, I think as far as for them, it's finding that sweet spot of where once they have to leave us, you're making sure that they have a good foundation to them. And then secondly, as a defense coordinator, you just adjust. That's the bottom line. That's what our job is. I don't think it's just defensive coordinators. Every coordinator, every head coach in the NFL has to be able to adjust. We talk about that a lot, and we'll have a plan, you know, as far as that goes once that time comes.
What jumped out about Landon Jackson's college
tape? Say that again.
What jumped out about Landon Jackson's college
tape? Yeah, I think obviously he's a big human. I think you guys have seen that. He's a big human. We definitely wanted to make sure that there was a size piece to what we were trying to do. And then it starts with really the person. He's a true professional, mature beyond his years. And then really when it comes down to it, you know, just really kind of what we were looking for when you talk about the run game and the pass game and being a three-down defensive end. You know, that's important. Certainly he has a long way to go in adapting and him earning the right to play and carve out a role for himself. But he's doing a good job, heck of a dude, and happy he's here.
Bobby, what did you learn from your first full year?
That's a great question. I knew that question was coming, Sal. I think there's a couple things that you learn as your first year. I know I stood here and I said, you know, you think you're ready and you're never ready till you go through it because you've never gone through something. And there's a couple things. I think first off, you know, and Sean being a great mentor is trusting my gut, trusting the preparation that went into it. Because I'll say this, not only myself and take myself out of it, our assistants prepare as well as anybody. And, you know, us putting together a good plan, why we're putting together the plan and where we're going from there, that's the first thing is trusting your gut. Being able to adjust is something that you have to be able to do. And I thought overall we did a pretty good job of that. And then the last thing I think is just, hey, you know, for anybody going through something the first time, everything's a first time. So now you've been in those situations, and now you're a little bit more scarred, per se, right? You're a little bit more weathered based on the situations and how fast those things can come up. So those are some of the things that I think I learned, you know, and looking forward to year two. Always,
right?
Always.
How much does, even though it hasn't happened yet, going through something else that was first time help you there?
Because I think it frees you up a little bit, right? I think it frees you up a little bit in the fact that you've been through A, B, and C. Okay, D happens. You can be on your feet a little bit quicker because A, B, and C are a little bit second nature to you, if that makes sense. You know, second time through on everything. And you know, there was some adjusting to what we did. And everything we do, everything we adjust, everything we adapt – and our hopes is for the better, you know, and that's the game of football.
You mentioned your assistants there. You've got a couple new ones in Nielsen and Pellegrino.
Can yep.
you talk about their individual strengths as coaches and maybe what they brought at this early stage?
Yeah, so, you know, Nielsen is a veteran. Both of them are veterans in this league. They've been around it. They've been around a lot of success. I think, you know, the Ryan, we've known each other for a long time. professionally. You know, from afar, you kind of admired some of the work that he had done in the past, you know, because you have crossover tape and you notice defenses, teams, units, position groups that are playing well, you know, and I knew his reputation was pretty good. Obviously, he came in as a senior defensive assistant, and, you know, he's just going to provide a wealth of knowledge, not only for our defense, being through the things that he's been through, but in the places that he's been, but also he's coordinated. You know, so that certainly is a help there. As far as Mike Pellegrino, obviously he was on the wrong side of the sidelines for a lot of years. You know, but I think the one thing that you always saw was the competitive nature of the DBs in New England. You know, and there's a lot of crossover tape within the division. And he came recommended, as did Ryan. You know, and it was one of those things, if we can add a piece that not only showed it through his coaching, but was part of a winning organization that had won for a long time, you know, obviously that's going to be a tremendous asset and provide value in our secondary.
Hey, Bobby, now that you've had months to go over what happened last year, you watched the tape, and you've added players now to address some things. But as you look back, what are the things the defense needs to be better at this year?
That's a great question. And I'll start with, there's a lot of things we did really well. I don't want to take anything away from our guys. You know, I think the biggest thing is the consistency. We talked a lot about that last year. And I think the overall consistency, you know, in our approach, in our execution, you know, and really making sure that no matter who we're playing, certain things stay the same. You know, and I need to make sure I do that first and foremost as the leader of the defense. And that would be my biggest thing, is the consistency in you know, our overall approach to the game. Well, like you said it, I think when you talk about the players that are returning, it's just identifying from last year the areas that we need to improve to be more consistent, as I just talked about, and making sure that we own those, we know those, and we work on those, right? That's the training part of where we're at right now, and also going into training camp. You know, and then you talk about adding pieces that can flat-out rush, you know, and those are the two things there. Obviously, in every position, we need to stay healthy and be available. You know what I mean? And that's the number one key to being able to improve. Things are going to happen. It's the NFL, you know. So, but the more we can be available, the better off.
And when it comes to Joey, he talked eloquently about how, you know, his time's running out and how much he wants to be established himself. What's the level of disappointment, maybe on his part, maybe on your part, that he's not available for?
I think the disappointment more is from his standpoint. You know, he doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want things to make him not available, you know, right now to be able to practice. You know, so I know he's disappointed. He's a competitor, you know, and we're not going to flinch. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to move along. We're going to adjust, as I said before. And when Joey's available, he'll be available, and he's working his butt off to make sure he's available.
Coach, your staff, I mean, on the defensive front there,
mm-hmm.
you've got three guys working with that group between Coach West, Coach Rebs, you know, Coach Nielsen. First, do they have specific delineated responsibilities with that group, number one? And then number two, with all the youth you have there, how advantageous is it for you to have three coaches kind of get hands-on with some of that youth?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you look at it, and this has been me. This hasn't been anybody else. This has been how I've looked at it for years. I coached in the secondary for years. And a lot of places, especially in Sean's defense, you know, in places where he's been in charge of the defense, obviously as the head coach, there's always been three secondary coaches, a lot of times. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, you know, we play a lot of nickel. There's three coaches there. If you do the math, that's five people. There's four people up front. You know, sometimes why not have three if you can gain tremendous value in the acquisition of people that bring things to your organization. And so to start off, you know, they're all contributing in various ways. And, you know, they work together tremendously. You know, and then when it comes to having youth, you know, I think, A, the first thing is the messaging needs to be the same, which, you know, throughout our staff, our entire defensive staff, the messaging has been consistent. And then secondly, I mean, the more hands-on and the more availability you have for young players, you know, the more they're going to achieve, you know. So they've got to – they've just like me, they've got to weather, they've got to scar – and the quicker they can get that together with immediate feedback, the better off they're going to, you know, trend upward.
Bobby, how did you evaluate the safety position from last season, and then how do you take that and then implement it this year? Because there is a lot of consistency in that position.
That's right. So I think when you look at it overall, I think Taylor Rapp had a very good year. I do. I think he had a very good year. You know, a lot of it, I think he had three interceptions. Last year, you guys, yeah, about three, which is a really good number. You know, I think some of the misconception is the deep zone stuff with Taylor. Well, if you look at a lot of his interceptions, where are they coming out of? You go back to the divisional game. When I was coaching linebackers, he won the division in 2 minutes as a deep half player. You know, so I think that's overlooked a little bit with Taylor. And I think, you know, the things that he tackled really well, really, really well. You know, and I thought DeMar had a really good year. I thought DeMar had a really good year, had his best year that he's had since he's been here, you know, and it was good to see, you know, him grow in it with another year under his belt. And then obviously Cole was really filling in that third safety spot, which was good in the event that he could learn and grow in that first year. It's hard to play in this league as a rookie at certain positions. And if they're ready, they're ready. If they're not quite ready, they're not quite ready. But I will say this, the jump we've seen from Cole from that first year as a rookie to this year has been really good so far. There's a lot of room left, but it's been really good so far. So, you know, there is a consistency in there right now. Everybody's competing. Everybody's earning the right. And really, we just want them to make sure they're doing their 111 first and foremost and not trying to reach outside of the framework of what we're trying to do.
What is that jump you've seen from Cole specifically?
Yeah, I think it's just the comfortability of what we're doing, right? It's the more reps he gets of one call, you just see him taking more control. And you go back to it. He didn't play in training camp, right? He didn't play in training camp. And that was valuable reps missed out, you know. And for him to still be able to go in and compete at a level that obviously we need some improvement, but for a guy that didn't have training camp and to go in there and do some of the things he did was good. You know, so I think just the comfortability in what we're trying to do in second year in, you know, is tremendous for him.
But in that, you mentioned he was a rookie and had the injuries. But are your expectations higher for him? You know, that's not the case now. He's healthy and
yeah.
Year two, he's a high draft pick. Like, a lot comes with that.
I'll say this. I'll say two things. I'll never stand up here and put expectations on a player. I'll never do that. The only expectation I'll put on them is every time they go on the field, they're competing their butt off to be the best they can possibly be. And then secondly, I'll say this. Any player that my expectations are higher than their expectations, we got a problem. So I would say it doesn't matter what my expectations of Cole are as long as his expectations are higher than mine.
Where does Jordan Hancock fit in? And when you have a player who, like Cam, right?
Yeah.
He's young. How do you balance training him to make sure you don't give him too much, but he gets what he needs?
Right. We have a plan going into it, Sal. We have a plan going into it with Jordan. And it's a well thought out, you know, articulated you know, time sensitive plan that we have, and we're following that right now.
When it comes to the open spot opposite Christian, would you consider that a wide open competition, and how wide open is it?
Absolutely.
To address that spot.
And I know.
I
know you think I'm silly, but every position is wide open. Every position is wide open. So,
I don't think you're going to be replacing Terrell Bernard.
If Terrell Bernard doesn't come out and play the way he needs to play, we got to do his best for the Buffalo Bills. I hear you. I understand all that, but everything is wide open. Everything is wide open.
How can those additions on the defensive line, whether it be competition, depth, or just the ability to rotate, help Greg Rousseau make even more of an impact?
Competition is the best breeder of success. I'd say this. I'd say competition, and really, and I think I've said this before, is like we talked about when it comes to pass rushing and the improvement there of identifying areas where you need it. Like, success is an awful teacher. Success, I've said that before, it's an awful teacher. Because success, you know, maybe there's some content that sets in. But failure is the best teacher. Failure is the best teacher, in my opinion. And hopefully, our whole goal is to make sure that the failures that we have in practice get corrected to translate to make sure on game day that those failures don't happen. So we obviously here, we celebrate the successes, but we make sure we learn and we build on our weaknesses, you know, and those failures.
I'm sorry, Bob. With that defensive line, all the new pieces that are coming in, what's the biggest challenge with getting those guys to come together and mesh the group? And you talked earlier about finding your role for Michael. You know, you got to do that for Larry, for Joey, and all the young guys. What's the challenge with that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge is finding the right mix while also getting the guys the right repetition. You know, there's a lot of pieces, like you said, there's a lot of competition as you just brought up right now. And filling out a practice script as a position coach to make sure you're getting exactly what you want, it's calculated. There's so much that goes into it. And that's the biggest challenge right there. And then you got to go, when we can do one-on-ones, you got to look at the one-on-ones. You got to look at all these pieces that come together. And then hopefully everybody is making the right choice. Yeah, I think Taryn's a guy you don't have to challenge. Taryn is constantly challenging himself. Taryn wants to be the best nickel on the planet Earth, you know, and he works that way. He's tough. He's smart. He's you know, gone through a lot of things here in Buffalo that have helped him to have success, you know. So, you know, I think Taryn knows the things that he needed to improve on from last year. You know, like we said, you know, you build on your strengths. And then whatever his weaknesses were last year, he certainly has identified and been made aware of where we need to improve.
Understanding what you just said about how every job is open.
Yeah.
We got to see a very limited amount of time last year with Terrell and Matt next to each other. What can that do for your defense when they are both out on the field together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the deal. So when it comes down to it, when you're working in a unit, right? So you talk about the D-line, linebackers, DBs, you know, and I'd really even throw Taryn in there because that, you know, second level of the defense. The more consistency that you can have with the people you're playing with, specifically at the level you're playing with, the better off you'll be, right? You build a rapport. There's almost, instead of it being verbal communication, it's almost a look to where, hey, I know what he's doing. So I would start with, you know, they need to mow their own backyards. They need to make sure that their level of play is at the point that we need it and at the point that they want it to be. And then I would say that the more they're together and they take care of what they're doing, and then you do you talk about the cohesiveness and the repetition together, you know, hopefully it's a winning product for us on the field.
Some are more pro ready than others. Where do you see Dorian Strong in that regard in terms of his pro readiness?
Yeah, I'll say this, Dorian's done a nice job, but like all our rookies, we're early on in this thing. There's a long road ahead of him, and you know, he is intentional about making sure that he's doing things the way we want to do them. He's hard on himself. You know, and all you can really look at right now, yes, we're evaluating the player and his acclimating. I wasn't going to use the right word there, to what we're trying to do here, right? He's got to unlearn Virginia Tech's defense and learn our defense, as do all our rookies. And that's where, you know, yes, we're evaluating him as the player, but at the same time, we've got to get him to the point where he can be so comfortable in our system. We're truly seeing the Dorian Strong or Max Hairston or Deion Walker or any of these guys that that we're like, okay, he's got a grip of the system. Here we go. This is who we're going to get. If that makes sense, if I answered your question.
That's all we have time for today. I can do
one more.
A lot of talk about Max Hairston's speed pre-draft.
Yeah.
What have you seen, and how's that translated to the football field? Because it's pretty tantalizing when you see
it. Yeah. Fast. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's two things, and I think we're starting to see, like I just talked about, we're starting to see there's speed, and then there's playing fast. And I think what we're starting to see is Max playing faster and utilizing his speed because his processing is starting to slow down a little bit in the event that he's grasping what we're throwing at him, if that makes sense. So there's some flashes here and there of it, but everybody, you know, all those rookies, we got to get them playing as fast as they possibly can, and obviously Max is blessed with a lot of speed, and we'll see if that can show up consistently on the field.
Sorry,
Bobby.
Yeah.
Second year, you know, making strides that a second year player should make. And also, there's things with everybody. There's still certain things that he's got to improve. But, you know, Joe is Joe, and Joe works his butt off. He doesn't say a word. Smart player, and we'll see where it goes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.